dit programma kijken heel veel mensen elke week uit. En fijn dat u en dat jij bij die grote groep van kijkers hoort. Hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power. We hebben zometeen het aangrijpende verhaal van Kim Fook. We kennen allemaal het beeld van dat meisje wat door napalm verbrand over de weg rent. En zij vertelt wat zij in haar leven gevonden heeft, waardoor ze houvast heeft, ondanks haar verbrande lichaam. En dan spreekt dominee Schuller over een prachtige bijbeltekst uit Jesaja. Zij die de Heere verwachten, putten nieuwe krachten, stijgen op als met vleugels van een adelaar. Schitterend bijbelgedeelte. En dan als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland, dominee Gerrit de Feiter. Hij is de hoogste baas van de synode van de protestantse kerk in Nederland. En hij gaat vertellen wat hem motiveert. Hij is net gekozen. En we vinden het erg fijn dat hij hier vanmorgen zal zijn. En natuurlijk veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. We gaan snel naar Los Angeles.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Turn around, shake hands with someone, give them the blessing. God loves you and so do I. Oh, what a great morning. What a great morning. Some of you are old enough to remember the Vietnam War. And many of you will remember a picture that captured the world. A little girl, her clothes have been burned off, and she is running in flames down a country road. Here she is, our guest this morning. Yes, this is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's happening. Our hearts are swinging open. Our souls, the window is shining bright with light and love into our heart. This is a beautiful place. This is a holy hour. This is a time of peace. Hallelujah. Thank you for putting it all together, Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from one of Paul's letters to the church in Galatia. Hear these words from the book of Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again. By faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, the only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. So I say, live by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap if we faint not. Let us take heed to these words, and let us love one another. We're recognizing a lot of our international ministries and the impact that they have had in this ministry.
The Hour of Power is touching lives in the far corners of the world, from Asia to Africa, Russia to Germany, and Holland to Australia. The mission of the Hour of Power remains the same: to transform people's lives with the powerful, positive gospel of Jesus Christ.
This is Holland, known for the beautiful gardens like here in the Keukenhof, where even two tulips are named after Dr. Schuller and Arvella. Hello, my name is Louis Poole, and since 7 years I am the director for the Hour of Power in the Netherlands. We're a small country with about 16 million inhabitants and 5.6 million households with a TV set. Every Sunday, the program is broadcast by a commercial television station called RTL5. And through this station, the Hour of Power reaches people in places where no one comes. People's lives get changed overnight. The positive view on the gospel is uplifting and also gives them the feel of belonging to a community of positive Christians worldwide.
Greetings from the Russian Ministry of the Hour of Power. We have been full-time on the air in the Russian language in the territory of the former Soviet Union since 1992. Our program in Russian can be viewed today in 70 million households. Our program has become completely self-sustaining and supported by viewers here in Russia. We have letters coming in every day with support, gratitude, and blessings.
Greetings from Hong Kong. Every Sunday at 9 a.m., most people are still at home with the TV turned on, or free-to-air station at that time will be showing children cartoon stories, except one, the ATV World Channel. They will be showing your worship service here, the Hour of Power, with Chinese subtitle. TV station told us that 1 out of 6 people in Hong Kong watched that Hour of Power over the year. We have 7 billion people in this tiny little city. Now, the signal is also picked up in Macau and other nearby cities of China. The program is also aired in Taiwan and through satellites covering the whole of Asia and most part of Europe.
Within just half a mile from this beautiful location on Sydney Harbour are the offices of the Hour of Power Australia. And for over 30 years, Hour of Power has been going to air every Sunday morning across this country. It is the most impactful ministry that this country has ever known on television. We receive thousands of letters every week that tell us how much this program is needed. It is astounding how God is working in people's lives through this ministry.
After raising my two sons from about 3 and 6 on my own and working and studying psychology, mediation and law, I was finally admitted as a lawyer in New South Wales at the age of 55. I believe it's through the inspiration and the prayers of the Hour of Power and through the grace of Jesus Christ that I've been able to achieve this despite many financial and health problems. And I thank the Crystal Cathedral Ministries and my Lord for this.
Hi, I'm Frank Hansrich, the Managing Director of the Hour of Power in Germany. I'm standing in front of the City Hall in Augsburg, Bavaria. Our office is located in this beautiful city. The population in Germany is 82 million people, and the Hour of Power is running since the year 2000 in Germany. Since 2004, we are on a major TV channel in Germany called Vox. It's a great opportunity to reach Germany with a positive message of Jesus Christ. We get so many testimonies and stories about how the Hour of Power has changed their lives. And that's also possible because people in Germany and as well in America are supporting the Hour of Power in Germany. You make a big difference in my home country. Thanks.
For nearly 40 years, the Hour of Power has focused on fulfilling its mission to make disciples of all nations. Today, we are succeeding one heart at a time.
Well, my guest today is known as the girl in the picture. Her name is Kim Phuc. As a 9-year-old Vietnamese child, Kim was the subject of one of the most famous war photographs ever taken. Everyone who has seen this Pulitzer Prize-winning picture remembers it and never forgets it. A powerful testimony to her spirit and her amazing courage, Kim learned to love her enemies and to forgive. This is her inspirational message today. Please welcome with me to the Crystal Cathedral, Kim Phuc. Kim, God loves you. And so do we. We look at this picture and our hearts immediately start to cry and weep for this 9-year-old girl. And we weren't even there. The 9-year-old girl is the woman I'm looking at today. Take us back to that 9-year-old girl and tell us what happened.
First of all, I want to thank God for this opportunity to be here with you. And because of His love, that little girl is still alive. And I'd love to share with you that day what happened to me. We hiding in the temple with another villagers and a soldier, South Vietnam. So for the 3 days, we hiding in that temple. We thought that is a holy place. We'd be saved. But on the third day, as soon as we have lunch, and then we saw the color mark they put inside of the temple, it meant dedicated, the temple was going to be bombed. So the soldier, they shouted to us, the children, we have to run out of this place because we will die if we're here. So they asked the children, run first. And I was the one among them with my brothers, my sister. And I remember as soon as I ran just in the front of the temple, I saw the airplane get slower. And then I saw 4 bombs. I didn't know why I didn't run, but I just looked at them. And I didn't hear the big explosion, but boop, 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 like that. And suddenly, the fire everywhere, and the fire just burned off my clothes. And I was so scared, and I kept running and running out of that fire. That has happened to me.
Since that day, you've had a lot of time to try to recover from that event. You've had, physically, you've had, what, 17 surgeries?
Yes.
You have, by the grace of God, healed, I think, but I understand you still have some scars on your arms.
Yes. I got 65% burns, and I got 35% to do skin graft. And I stay in the hospital for 14 months.
So physically, the doctors were able to heal you.
Yes.
But I think the greater damage than the physical burns on the arms is the spiritual and the emotional injuries.
Yes.
How did you recover from those?
I tell you, this is really hard to deal with because the war come into our house, in our lives. In my family lost everything, and I lost my two cousins, 3 years old and just 9 months baby. And then when I came home from the hospital, I have a lot of pain, and I saw so many scars over my body, and I just asked, why me? Why that I have to suffer like this? And I just have a loss of pain and trauma and nightmare. And that I live with hatred, with bitterness. And I just cry out all the time. And even when I grow up, I thought I never have a boyfriend, never get married, even never have a baby because of that scar. But I thank God, as I was so wrong. I got a wonderful husband who just loved me, whoever I am. And I have two lovely boys, Thomas, 9 years old, and Stephen, 6 years old. We are living in Canada.
Tell us about your spiritual journey.
Thank you. Because you
weren't a Christian as a child, were you?
No. As a Vietnamese children, a child, I was raised in the Cao Dai religion in Vietnam. They taught me to believe too many gods everywhere, and everybody is as a god. And I was very devout in that religion. But then in 1982, when I was 19 years old, after the Vietnamese government, they found me. I am that little girl. And so at that time, I was in the first year of medicine school because my dream, I want to be a doctor. I was so much grateful that the doctor and nurses, they saved my life. They helped me to heal the wound and everything. And that's why my dream just so much. And then I got it in 1982 when I was 19 years old. I was so happy. That is my dream come true. But a very short time, as soon as they found me, I am that little girl, and so they cut short my study. They not allow me to go to school anymore, so they can use me for their propaganda to receive the interview from the journalists come over around the world to Vietnam to interview me. So that is so bad for me. It's just a slow point in my life. I was not free at all, and I couldn't go to school. And that what happened to me again. I was a teenager. I have no more future. And then nobody can help me. And that is put me in the point that I wanted to die. I couldn't carry on that burden because everybody watching me. And I just spend my time in the library. And I want to find the purpose. Why I suffering again and over again? And then I read all kind of religious books. Among them, I read the New Testament. But I have the so confusing. I have so many questions. But I remember one day, I faced to the sky and I asked, God, are you real? Please help me. Do you exist somewhere? Please help me. Even I prayed to 1,000 gods. Nobody answered my question. I still bitterness, angry, and hatred. And then I tell you, dear friends, God is real. And he answered my prayer. I asking for one girlfriend who I can talk with, who I can share with me. And then that is in 1982 in Christmas time. I opened my heart to Jesus. And I accept him as my personal savior. And then sitting there, I pray to Jesus Christ. And the more I pray to God, I obey him and I walk by faith. And God just gave me so wonderful peace in my heart. When I read the Bible in Luke 6:27, love your enemies. I say, Lord, how can I do it? I couldn't do it. I have so much scar and I have so much pain. And I was a victim, one thing to another. How can I love my enemies? You know what? I say to myself, no way, Jose. It is hard. I couldn't do it. But the one thing I just go to God and I pray and I read the Bible. And I saw the picture of Jesus Christ. He prayed for those nail him on the cross. I said, Lord, help me. Help me. You know what happened? Finally, I got it. And when I got it, I don't want to lose it. I learned how to forgive my enemies, who those caused my suffering. That's why I could able to share with you today. And that is so wonderful for that little girl. And then for the rest of my family.
Wow. Kim, you are an amazing human being, the way God has touched you and the way you've responded.
I just had nothing, but I have a great God. It's a wonderful. He just provides us everything. Praise the Lord.
Now you have your foundation, the Kim Foundation. Would you tell us about your foundation?
Thank you. As living in Canada, and I know that the love of God, it just allowed me to alive. And I really have, like you just sing a song, love to another. And I say, Lord, why you let that little girl alive? What the meaning? And so now I just have my heart for another children who are suffer, victims of war around the world. That's why I pray that God help me to do something for those children. And then I found the Kim Foundation, and I would like to share with you. Now our project, I help the children, orphanage in Uganda. This is my heart. I want to help those children. They can have the place to live, and they can have the program to learn. Especially, they learn how to love another, to help another, and they can have the salvation. They can have the peace in their heart. That is, I cry to another. I'm not crying for me, but I cry for another children. Please help them. And God bless you abundantly. Thank you so much.
Troubles come and my heart burden be, and I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There's no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come, I am filled with wonder. Sometimes I glimpse eternity.
En dat was Russell Watson met het prachtige en indrukwekkende You Raise Me Up. De gast vanmorgen bij Hour of Power is dominee Gerrit de Feiter. Hij is sinds 2 maanden voorzitter van de synode van de Protestante Kerk in Nederland. Dat is het hoogste bestuursorgaan. Nou, gefeliciteerd met die benoeming, denk ik. En een van de mooie dingen die u deed was toen u aantrad dat u zei van waar ik tegen wil vechten is het analfabetisme in de kerk. Voordat we daarover gaan hebben, even voor de duidelijkheid, hoe groot is die kerk?
De protestantse kerk in Nederland die bestaat uit 2,5 miljoen leden. En bijna 3000 gemeenten verspreid. Grote gemeenten, kleine gemeenten verspreid over heel Nederland.
En hoeveel predikanten?
Wij hebben 2500 predikanten.
Dat is een enorm aantal, hè?
Ja.
Ik noemde het er net al. Toen u aantrad, toen zei u, ik wil vechten tegen de analfabetisering van het christelijk geloof. Dat is een hele mond vol. Wat bedoelt u daarmee?
Ik heb daarmee bedoeld te zeggen van, in de maatschappij, En ook in de kerk, in een bepaald opzicht, kom ik toch tegen dat men niet zo erg goed meer op de hoogte is van de hoofdlijnen van het christelijk geloof. Onlangs heb ik meegemaakt dat een aantal mensen geïnterviewd werden op straat en werd gevraagd, nou, wat is Hemelvaartsdag nou? Wat is Pinksteren nou? En Pasen? Nou, dan schrik je van. Dan denk je, hoe bestaat het toch dat het zo ver gekomen is in dit land dat de mensen op de straat niet meer weten wat wij als boodschap hebben aangaande het evangelie van Jezus Christus.
En wat is die boodschap?
De boodschap is dat Jezus Christus deze wereld lief heeft, zo lief heeft gehad dat hij aan het kruis van Golgotha voor ons, voor onze zonde gestorven is. Dat hij koning is, de koning der koningen is hij. En ja, hij doet een appel op ons leven.
Er wordt voortdurend in de pers gezegd dat de kerken leeglopen. Er verschijnen ook rapporten over. Maar u noemde net indrukwekkende aantallen. Is dat ook zo, dat de kerken echt leeglopen?
Je hebt de rapporten naar alle waarschijnlijkheid gezien over God in Nederland en wat de EO ook gedaan heeft en allerlei andere organisaties die onderzoekingen hebben verricht. En dan daar zou je somber van worden. Tegelijkertijd is er in allerlei, weliswaar kleinere gemeenten, waar de vanzelfsprekendheid niet meer is, zijn er mensen die ervoor gaan, om het zo maar te zeggen. Die gaan om de boodschap van het evangelie van Jezus Christus door te geven. Ik heb zelf de indruk dat men meer en meer doorheeft dat het om de core business moet gaan in de kerk. Waar staan wij nou eigenlijk voor? En dat is de verbreiding van het evangelie van Jezus Christus.
Ja. Het is het mooiste wat er is, hè?
Dat vind ik fantastisch. Daar ben ik ook dominee voor geworden.
Nou las ik onlangs dat bijvoorbeeld in Utrecht de mensen van de kerk, de kerkleden, zich inzetten voor hulp aan bejaarden, ziekenbezoek, klusjeshulp enzovoort. En dat maakt niet uit of het nou kerkmensen zijn of niet. Iedereen wordt geholpen. En dat een tegenwaarde heeft van 80 miljoen euro. Dat is
dat is iets nieuws wat gebeurd is. Dat is in Utrecht is dat gebeurd.
Ja.
En in Den Haag is het ook gebeurd. Ik heb beide rapportages meegemaakt. Toen dat ook aan de burgemeester van Utrecht aangeboden is. Je denkt allemaal, die kerk, dat is marginaal.
Ja.
Maar als het helemaal is weg zou vallen.
Ja.
En dat heeft met ouderen en met zieken te maken. Maar ook met de vreemdeling in ons midden. En al die aandachtsvelden, dat zijn velden die ons aangereikt worden vanuit Gods woord.
Nou wordt er heel veel geboden in Nederland op het gebied van kerken, gospel, bijeenkomsten, concerten, noem maar op. Daartussen is ook bijvoorbeeld Hour of Power als wekelijkse televisiekerkdienst. Hoe kijkt u daar tegenaan?
Ik vind dat prima. Ik vind het uitstekend dat we gebruik maken van de moderne middelen die er zijn om de boodschap door te geven. Dat hoeven we niet meer met boekjes alleen te doen. Ik vind het prachtig dat het met internet en met televisie kan. Ik denk dat wij, wat dat betreft, op elkaar betrokken zijn in die ene beweging om de boodschap door te geven. Van de kant van de kerk zeg ik er nog wel wat bij. Dan zeg ik van, kijk, wij staan in een hele lange traditie vanuit de vroege kerk. En wij staan ook op de schouders van hen die voor ons over de dingen van het geloof hebben nagedacht. Dus wij kunnen veel bieden aan gemeenschapsvorming. En dat is denk ik uitermate belangrijk ook in een individualistische samenleving als waarin wij terechtgekomen zijn. Toerusting. Hè? Nou, dus in die zin denk ik dat de gevestigde kerken, zoals men dat dan noemt, bijzonder veel kunnen betekenen, ook in deze tijd. Ja.
Er zijn de kerkmensen en er zijn mensen die nooit in de kerk komen. Mensen ook die naar deze uitzending kijken en zeggen, toevallig gekeken, ik ben op zoek. Er moet wat meer zijn tussen hemel en aarde. Maar ja, moeilijk. Had God maar een vel bij wijze van spreken. Wat zeg ik nou tegen die mensen?
Dan zeg ik tegen die mensen: doe hetzelfde wat Jan Willem Otte gedaan heeft. Dat is een groot schrijver in dit land. Hij is toen de schrijver geweest van het Boekenweekgeschenk, Specht en Zoon. En die heeft door middel van een film, door middel van het lezen van wat boeken, door gesprekken met mensen, is hij erachter gekomen dat de onrust in zijn hart, dat hij een plek vond in het volbrachte werk van de Heer Jezus Christus. Ja, dat heeft mij geweldig geraakt, dat hij dan ook spreekt over zondebesef. Ja, dat is een woord wat mensen niet zo graag horen. Maar hij zegt, juist in het licht, bij het kruis van Golgotha, heb ik geleerd wat zonde is, wat gebrokenheid is, ook in mijn eigen bestaan. En dat er altijd een nieuw begin mogelijk is. En dan zeg ik tegen die mensen, ik vind dat een prachtig voorbeeld, hoe dat deze man, los van alles wat er met de kerk te maken had. Hij was pornoverslaafd. Ik verklap dat niet. Hij heeft dat zelf publiek gemaakt. Heeft de hele handel aan de kant gezet. En is een nieuwe weg gegaan. Een nieuw begin is er in zijn leven gekomen. Dat vind ik fantastisch. En ik denk dat dat voor ieder mens kan.
Ja. En je dat zo leuk vindt? Je zit met groot enthousiasme te kijken. Je zit te stralen bij wijze van spreken. Klopt
ja.
dat?
Oh ja, luister eens. Wij staan voor een goede zaak. Ik heb in een ander verband gezegd, wij hebben als kerk goud in handen. En dat wil ik graag uitdelen. En ik weet ook wel dat dat allemaal niet meevalt. Omdat er zoveel prikkels en zoveel impulsen zijn in deze samenleving. Die jongeren van het eigenlijke, naar mijn inzicht Hans, van het eigenlijke van het leven aftrekken. Nou, daar wil ik graag instaan. En ik hoop van harte dat de protestantse kerk instrument mag zijn met die vele andere kerken in ons land. Jammer dat het zo is. Maar dat die allemaal tezamen die dat goud van het evangelie uit mogen delen. En we moeten niet als kerken elkaar gaan zitten te bevechten en elkaar gaan zitten te bestrijden. Ik heb gezegd dat ik graag op wil trekken met ieder mens die een goed woord van Jezus Christus zegt. En dat is heel breed.
Fijn, daar sluiten we ons bij aan. Heel fijn dat u hier vanmorgen wilde zijn. Heel veel sterkte met die hele belangrijke taak, dat aanvoeren van de grootste kerk van Nederland. Dit is een boek van dominee Schuller, dat heeft hij geschreven. Dat heet De Reis van Mijn Leven. Nou, ik weet niet of u het weet, maar dominee Schuller en de Christelijke Cathedral. Dominee Schuller is een hervormd predikant in Amerika. Ja. En het is de hervormde kerk van Amerika, de Christelijke Cathedral. Dus in dit boek zult u heel veel vinden waarvan u zegt, nou,
prachtig. Wij zijn de voortzetting van die kerk, de protestantse kerk in Nederland. En hij heeft bijzondere banden met Kampen, de stad waarin ik dominee mag zijn. Ik heb hem daar meegemaakt in de bovenkerk in Kampen. Prachtig. Ja. Hartelijk dank hiervoor.
Alle goeds en God zegen toegewenst.
Dank je wel, hoor.
En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. Oh, we hoorden net over die mooie kerk in Kampen. Naar die moderne kerk in Amerika. Daar staat het koor van de Crystal Cathedral kinderen. En die zingen dat meest gezongen lied ter wereld. Amazing Grace. Wonderlijke genade die een wrak zoals mij redde. Geschreven door de ooit slavenkapitein John Newton. En zijn film overigens, dat moet je in de gaten houden, komt binnenkort in de bioscoop. Die heet Amazing Grace. Fantastische film.
Grace appeared.
Wow. Well, we don't have any minutes left, so I don't have time for a 20-minute sermon. But I hope to give a thought to you that you can carry with you. And what is this ministry all about? It's teaching people how to live life at its best. The focus is on finding the plan that God has for your life, and He wants you to be happy and healthy and prosperous and living in the joy of salvation. Today, I want to focus on just three words, and you can carry them with you. They are found in Isaiah, and that verse is, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah 40, 31. This morning, three words. Renew their strength. Wow. What was Isaiah thinking about when he said strength? What did he mean? I mean, if you'd seen him in person and he lifted his robe and did this, what would you see? The kind of a muscle they can give you in the gym? What was his waist? What power did he have in his thighs and legs? How much weight could he lift just from the toes? What did he mean when he talked about strength? He was not talking about physical strength. This is not gym language. He's talking about spiritual strength, emotional strength. This ministry that started 50 years ago started with an intentional focus to strengthen the lives of people. The single deepest need of the human being is not intellectual knowledge. We need all the knowledge we can get, for sure. But ultimately, it's not knowledge. It's spirit. It's heart. Yeah. So, how can you get heart? How can you get spirit? It's here in these series of sermons. Renew your strength. What is strength? It's strength of heart. It's a sense of mission. It's passion. It's wanting to be and do something that makes a difference in hurting lives. In your lifetime, do you care about people? You know, really, I think there are two kinds of people. Those who are mirror people and window people. We've got an awful lot of mirror people in America today. I live in Southern California. That's the home of Hollywood. You cannot find more narcissistic people in any part of the world than you can find in Southern California. Narcissistic people are people who I call mirror people. They always look in the mirror. And if Botox can improve the appearance, they'll take a shot of Botox. Narcissism, self-centeredness, focusing on the strength of the shape, the muscle, figure. Then there are window people. Window people are quite different. They're looking out and they see the world out there. They see people that are hurting. That's what happened to our guest of the morning. She looked out, and now she has a foundation. A foundation to raise money to help the orphans of the war. Look at them. When you become a window person, you look out and see the hungry, the starving, the dying. Window people trying to give wheelchairs to people who've never had a wheelchair in their life. Renew your strength. What is the strength Isaiah is talking about? He's talking about the strength to help people who are hurting. And God knows the world is hurting today more than it's probably ever hurt, because it needs faith. Where do you get the strength? Renew the strength. Some people don't even have it. You get it by asking God, what do you want me to do in the one life I've got to live? God, what kind of talents do I have? What kind of gifts do I have? What can you do with it? Well, I had one of my dearest friends was named Bob Pierce. He's been gone some years now. But Bob Pierce heard a sermon like this, and he made a commitment to give his life to Christ and serve him any way he wanted to. And then he got a dream that he had to go to China and be a missionary. Why China? He didn't know. But he got on a boat and he went to China. He got off that boat and he was walking on a sidewalk in Hong Kong. And the only white person, the only American, stood out like a bumping along when he saw a white woman coming near him with her hand holding a little boy, Chinese boy. She looked at him and she said, who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing here? He said, my name is Bob Pierce. He was talking to a woman that we knew very well in our church, Tina Holkeborg, a Dutch woman, a spinster, who was one of the greatest missionaries for Christ the world has ever seen. She was a window woman, not a mirror woman. She said, who are you? What are you doing here? He said, I came here to be a missionary. She said, who are you with? Tina Holkeborg was with our church, the Reformed Church. He said, nobody. I'm looking for my mission. And Tina looked at him, are you looking for a mission? Here's your mission. Take him. And she gave the little boy to Bob Pierce. She said, I mean it. Take him. And she left. That was the beginning of world vision. Powerful. Renew your strength. Forget about yourself. What takes the strength out of you if you need to renew it? Well, I think it's beginning to look too much in the mirror and stop looking out the window. It's beginning to think more and more of yourself and less of others. And pretty soon, that kind of fixation will leave you emotionally hungry. More and more you'll want to cry. Wow. Well, how do you get it renewed? How do you come back? People listening to me now, here and in countries around the world, some of you once loved God and Jesus Christ. Maybe it was in Sunday school, but you lost it. You lost it. How do you renew your strength? Come back. Start as Kim Phuc did. Read the New Testament. Find somebody that's a Christian and talk to them. It'll turn your life upside down if you meet Jesus Christ. I want to say very solidly, I am well educated in psychology before I got into theology. And there has never in the history of humanity been another human being with a brain that came out with sentences that will so radically turn a life upside down. Turn people from mirror people to window people. Turn people from self-centeredness and self-admiration to giving of yourself to encourage people who are hurting. Dr. Jung, the great psychologist who happened to belong to the Reformed Church in Switzerland, wrote a book called Modern Man in Search of a Soul. He says, about a third of my cases are suffering from no clinically definable neurosis, but from the senselessness and emptiness of their lives. It seems to me, I can just describe this as the general neurosis of our time. What do you do? Look for an example. Look for a Lord. It's Jesus. Of the 35 years we've been on television and a couple of billion with a B letters and more that we've received for over a third of a century, In many languages from many countries, I get letters and have gotten letters, and these words appear again and again. You saved my life. The emotional needs of hope and patience, courage and confidence and kindness, these positive emotional needs are not given to us by any other institution. I don't care what university you graduate from, what advanced degrees you may have, what honors or peace prizes you may have. I'll tell you, there is no other institution on planet Earth like the Church of Jesus that turns people's lives upside down by giving them a new heart, a new spirit. And I ask you today to just make a decision. Forget about the debate. Forget about the questions. Forget about the disagreements. Just make a decision that you can't meet Jesus Christ. Nobody can top him. Accept him. Your life will turn upside down, believe me. And you'll be on your way to living life at its best. Changes your emotional structure. Kim told me privately, we've had some wonderful times in prayer and tears downstairs. Kim Fook told me privately that it seemed like everybody was her enemy, she said. She was a South Vietnamese. But it was an American plane that dropped the bomb. Not to hurt her, but that's what happened. And the spirit of love came into her life through Jesus Christ, and she found herself in Washington, D.C., and there she encountered, by a strange providence, a Vietnam veteran who was in charge of that bombing mission. And she said, I was able to forgive him. He didn't mean to hurt her. Just take a look again at Kim Fook. Twinkle, sparkle, because Christ lives in her life. And that's real. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You're getting through to some of us. We're beginning to realize there is a God. And he cares about us. There's a person called Jesus Christ, very much alive, living right here in people whose faces twinkle, sparkle, generate enormous energy. Oh God, we need our strength renewed, so we come back to him and we come back to you. We're getting it again. Thank you. Amen. Go out with God. Let him smile through your face. Touch people silently, visibly, sweetly. Be the nicest person your friends have ever met. Let Christ's spirit flow through you, now and forevermore. Amen.
Ja, onze uitzending zit erop. Het gaat altijd heel snel, zo'n uur Hour of Power. En wat een interessante mensen. En wat hadden ze wat te vertellen. En wat een mooie muziek. En ik vond het heel leuk wat dominee Schuller zei. Je hebt spiegelmensen en raammensen. Spiegelmensen die alleen maar in de spiegel naar zichzelf kijken. En raammensen die er buiten kijken en zeggen, wat kan ik doen voor een ander? En dat is een goede gedachte, ook voor mezelf hoor, om de week mee in te gaan. Overigens, als je problemen hebt of zorg, of je bent geconfronteerd met ziekte, of er is iets ergs gebeurd, en je zegt, waar moet ik heen? Zij die de Heere verwachten, putten nieuwe kracht. Ze stijgen op als vleugelen van een adelaar. Ik kan het uit mijn eigen leven beamen. Nou, als je hulp nodig hebt, we hebben een gebedsteam wat voor mensen die met zorgen en problemen zitten bidt. Wij vertellen niet wie u bent. We zeggen alleen het verzoek. En daarvoor wordt gebeden. En bidden helpt. Stuur ons per e-mail of per brief of per telefoon het verzoek. En er wordt gebeden door een integer gebedsteam. Dat kan ik van harte zeggen. Onze adres verschijnt zometeen in beeld. Voor iedereen een hele goede zondag toegewenst. En denk, aan de raam en de spiegel en ga uit het raam kijken.
And lean not on your own.